Hello and welcome to In Stitches, the upholstery podcast for upholsterers, telling your story and inspiring others. With your host, Robbie Richardson, it's my great pleasure today to introduce the main man, Armand Verdier.
Yeah? Come on, Robbie, you can do it.
Verdier.
Yeah, bonjour. Yeah.
Bonjour, bonjour. Oh, I stumbled over that. That's really quite funny, considering I just spent the last 10 minutes asking him how to say his surname. I
think was expected.
Messed it up, but who cares? Lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. That's an absolute pleasure. So, to begin with, you know how we always start.
Yep.
When you're about to leave school and you're getting into wearing a beret and a stripy shirt and your onions... Did you have a clear plan of what you were going to do?
My God, absolutely not. No, but luckily my mum did. So she pretty much mapped out my career after sending me to an upholstery school, age 15. And it sort of naturally progressed from here, really.
Okay. So the other thing, because I interviewed Bruno recently. And the thing I didn't really explore very well with him was the education system in France.
Yes.
So perhaps, could you tell us a little bit about how that works? Because I think it's so much better than the way it's done here.
Well, you've got like two main different ways of training. You can either go to Les Compagnons du Devoir. I don't know if Bruno did that. I mean, you're sent all over the country, all over the world, and train in different companies and learn the trade this way.
Yeah.
Or you do what I did, is go to a school.
Yeah.
And you spend 2 days at the bench, and the rest of the week you just learn math, geography, history of arts, how to draw, and all of that. And
what age is this? When you were 15, or
I was 15. Yes, when I started. Yeah.
So you before effectively in the UK, that is before you've left school, you've already started developing a career.
Yeah.
I mean, such a brilliant idea, I think.
Yeah, it is. But at my age, I just didn't know what I wanted to do. But because my mom was a seamstress, you know, I remember helping her with little projects like embroidery, like recovering of furniture, etc. And when I grew up, our house was filled with handmade curtains, scatter cushions, like tapered lampshades, all made by my mom. And I used to sleep in a beautiful French bed, you know, with a canopy, all covered in a sumptuous toile de jouy, of course. And it's
of course.
All fit for a princess, which I clearly wasn't. But yeah, so as you can see, yeah, she's all to blame, really. My mum is all to blame.
So when you started, you were working in a college and you were still studying. Is that how
we studied in a college. So the workshop was in the college, really.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
So when did you complete? How long was that training for?
So I trained for 5 years.
5 years.
But that covered like upholstery, that covered soft furnishing. So you'd learn to make a curtain, you learn to make everything with fabric, really. Yeah, sunbursts, everything. And you also learn how to use foam. So you learn the traditional way and the modern way.
Okay.
So it's a whole package.
Yeah. And when you came out into doing the upholstery, did it feel like a very natural connection to you? Was it something that you really identified with immediately, or were you like not sure?
Oh no! To be honest, it took me a while to feel passionate about upholstery. Yeah, it was just like something you did at school, like learning a foreign language. It's just you're there to do it. You do it.
Yeah.
So I think the passion came when I started teaching in the UK. Really.
Oh really?
So quite late in my career.
It actually sounds somewhat similar to because I for me it was more of a job than something I was passionate about until much later in life.
But
you must have sort of learning all the stitching and the craft behind that at that age. There must be something very special. You're getting into the depths of the trade at a very young age and understanding some of the more complex things that I think a lot of us never really grasp. Do you think that's a fair assessment or not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like I said, when you're 15, you just don't think deeply about it. You just do what the tutor tells you to do. But it's much later when you learn about all the history behind it that you start to appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah. And then when you finished at the college, what was your first job? Where did you work?
Well, surprisingly enough, my first job was in the UK, working for Angela Bergin. And she was one of the country's leading experts in traditional upholstery at the time.
Yeah.
So that was back in 2007, I think.
So,
I was introduced to her by David James. I was sent to High Wycombe University to spend a month there while I was studying at the Ecole Boulle. I was sent there because Mr. Gregory Cuppy Jones had decided he didn't want a French student interning for him. But I'm not sure it was nothing personal. So I spent 3 weeks with Angela, and she later offered me a job after I had finished at the Ecole Boulle.
I'm not sure about my maths here. How old were you when you came to the UK?
I think it was like 19. Yeah, I spent my 21st birthday here. So, yeah, probably 20.
How was your English when you arrived?
Very basic, extremely basic. I just had the level of a teenage boy who didn't want to go to English classes.
Yeah.
So, extremely basic.
Very much like me at 57 or whatever I am now. In a way, I guess that's quite an interesting thing for some people that are coming into a foreign country. How did you teach yourself English? Because you're obviously very fluent now.
Well, TV was great. I spent many hours watching TV. Okay. But when you're in an environment when the only thing you hear is English.
Yeah, totally immersion.
Your brain just adapt to it. But it took me a long time.
It just interests me because, you know, I lived in Spain for a couple of years and I picked up Spanish quite quickly.
Yes, of course, yes.
But, I mean, I haven't been there for 20 years and I've forgotten it all now. But, you know, when you're absolutely surrounded with people speaking the language, it's the best way of learning, because I'm not a studious chap at all, really.
Force yourself to speak with them, so you need to push yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's, you know, I guess for people who are coming into the country, or not so much now, we won't go down that road, it might be a helpful thing to talk about. Who is your mentor? Is it Angela or is there someone in France?
No, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, that has to be Laurent Lenné, who's my former tutor at the Ecole Boulle.
Okay.
I mean, that guy is superhuman. And he's he's a master of all things creative. He's like, he's an upholsterer, he's an artist, an illustrator, amongst other things. And his wealth of knowledge is just phenomenal. There's nothing he cannot do. Yeah, so when I grow up, I just want to be like him, really.
Do you think that will ever happen, though?
Oh, my God, I don't think so. Oh, my God. He's up there.
and tell me, so what, you came to the UK and you were working for Angela?
Yes.
And what happened after that? How did you start becoming your own boss? What was the steps?
Gosh, well, I only stayed with Angela 4 years before I had to go back to France. Because I was missing it way too much.
Yeah.
So I went back to France. I traveled a bit. I worked in France, in south of France, for an upholsterer.
Oh, okay.
That didn't go down very well. I got fired after a year.
Tell us about that. Were you a naughty boy?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I like to do my own things. And when I get told to do something differently, that's when it goes wrong.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So a professional disagreement rather than you just naughty.
Absolutely.
That's completely acceptable. Yeah. Exactly. Not as interesting, but.
I had my techniques and she has had hers, and we couldn't agree on some things, and we just had to part.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that.
So, after that, I just went traveling a bit.
I'm touching. Tell us about that.
Oh my God. Where did I go? Well, I just went to Mauritius.
Oh, did you?
Mauritius, lovely. I just went to South Africa. And then I found a job in Burma.
In Burma?
Burma, I don't know. So that was. I stayed there for 5 months. So I was a workshop manager.
Okay. In upholstery?
In upholstery, that was working for a French designer working there.
Okay.
That didn't go well either, and I got fired after 5 months.
There's a theme here.
There's a pattern,
Was the designer anyone famous?
He's famous in Burma. So and went back home, and the easiest thing for me was to go back to the UK and work for Angela, because she was willing to have me back.
And 5 or 6 months.
We get on really well with Angela.
Yeah.
And because I was quite free to do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And that helped. That helped a lot. And after a few years, she just closed her workshop. To get on with my life. So I decided to open my own business, my own workshop.
And how did that all start out for you? How did you get your clients? How did you get started?
Well, I was lucky. I had Angela on my side. So all her clients kind of became mine. And that was very helpful.
Yeah.
And she had quite a lot of good clients. I'll always be grateful for that.
So it was quite an easy step to make in some respects.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you find the process of running your own business challenging, or is it something you fit into quite nicely?
Well, I'm more like a cruiser. So it's not really good when you own your own business.
Yeah.
So I just take a day at a time and just don't push too much.
Yeah.
But it's getting good now. Yeah. Really.
Your passion is what you do with your hands. Your passion is upholstery. I guess that's, you want to be on the bench. You don't want to be sat on a computer trying to.
Absolutely. Although I could not do that. Yes. That would be very hard for me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where you and I are different, amongst other things.
Yeah.
A bit better English than you. I've got nothing else to do.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's speak French now.
No, let's not. You set up your business, and when did you start teaching?
I think the first teaching I did was in Great Missenden, and I took over a course that David James ran there.
Did you?
Yes, there's like a training center. I think it's still on, but
yeah.
And yeah, so he asked me one day if I could take over his course, and which I said yes to, definitely. And I went really well. I really enjoyed myself, and it just turned out to be a very good experience. I met a lot of people, and I felt, oh, there's something there.
Yeah,
there's something I like there, and I carried on.
Having sat in a class with you for 4 or 5 days, whatever it was, blow smoke up you, but you were brilliant. You're brilliant.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed.
You were very good students too.
Yeah, all right, we'll stop this now, shall we? Before it gets... So, If you were starting today and you wanted to achieve what you have achieved in upholstery, how would you go about achieving those skills?
Well, to be honest, I'd jump straight back onto the other star and start all over again. I would retrace my footsteps, and I would make sure to listen to my tutors a bit more.
Yeah.
I would listen a lot more, be more curious. But isn't it
marvelous how age makes you mature?
Gosh, yeah. When it's too late.
Yeah. Well, it's not too. It's never too late. But in terms of because obviously most UK students or. Mm. Indeed, we even have some people in the States listening. They're not going to be able to go to France. No. So give us an alternative version of the
story. You've got very good AMUSF centres.
Yeah.
Which I've been going there teaching French upholstery.
Yeah.
And there are some really good centres around you can attend.
So it's just
very good tutors. Yeah. That you've got all the tools here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you want to learn English upholstery, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. But who'd want to learn that?
that's why I want to go back to France, if I had the choice.
What part of the craft do you enjoy most? What gives you the most pleasure?
I love to challenge myself with jobs that may seem like impossible to others. I just love working on very labor intensive pieces. And like all of us, I mean, we all love the look of a client's face when you restore something beyond recognition. So we all do. But
that's job's about, isn't it? Yeah.
That's it, exactly. Exactly.
Do you ever get frustrated? Because for me personally, when I see your work, it's like, why would you put a cover on it? Do you ever get frustrated by the fact that your work is covered up when it is so beautiful?
No, it's all part of the fun. And you know that what you've done underneath is going to show up on the top. If your upholstery was bad underneath, even if you had the cover on, it would look crap. So, yeah, what's underneath reflects what's on top, really.
I think that's... I'll give you that answer. But to me, every time I see... French upholstery, whether it's yours or someone else's, to be honest, it's just like it is so different to English.
Yes, it is very different.
I'm not decrying English upholstery at all because it's equal in that, but it's just the attention to the stitch length and the tacking, and and it's a familiar pattern for anyone that's got sort of like those extreme skills, like people that are sort of on that high end of the trade. And it's something I always aspire to, but if I'm being brutally honest, I'm a long way from being there. But I absolutely adore that point when you see the accuracy of everything. Is that something that you obsess about? Are you very OCD in your own life?
Maybe in some ways I am. But that just becomes a habit.
Yeah.
I mean, your eyes get used to those lines of stitching. So before you stitch, you can see the lines.
Yeah.
You know where you're going to stitch. It's just practice. Practice makes perfect, and that's just the result of it.
Yeah.
You just get used to it.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about how many hours of upholstery you've done?
Oh, my gosh.
Have you?
No.
I can't remember what the equation is, but that makes you an expert if you've had so many hours in a trade. And to be honest, I'm not 100% sure I'm with it on everything. it makes sense.
It makes seems sense like a long time. Yeah.
Maybe more in a business term than a craft skill. And what's your proudest moment in upholstery? What's the thing that you look back on and think, I'm so chuffed I did that?
I think that would have to be when I attended Versailles, really. So it's not kind of, it's kind of not, it's not a piece of furniture.
No, but that's not the point. It's what you're proud of. Yeah.
So yes, when I entered in Versailles, because we were on a trip with the British School of Upholstered Furniture.
Yeah.
And when we entered the upholstery workshop, the upholsterers, including Laurent Janin, they just turned and started clapping and bowing when they saw me. So that was extremely awkward. So yeah, after a lot of blushing on my part, I just realized I must be doing something right. So yeah, that was a proud moment.
Yeah, me. I bet it was. So, wish I was there. I could have taken the piss out of you. This is a really negative question, but I think it has some merit. What frustrates you about the trade? What do you think? God, I wish that we did that differently. Is there anything, or is it like just too broad a question? Because I know it's quite negative.
Well, I'm not really someone who gets frustrated, really.
Not no, really.
Right. What would frustrate me right now is Brexit. You mentioned it. So yeah, that frustrates me as I can't get all my lovely French upholstery materials now anymore.
That
frustrates me. Yeah.
We'll have a discussion about that afterwards.
Yeah, please.
So and then sort of in terms of the trade itself, what really excites you? In not necessarily from your own personal point of view, but development wise or what you're seeing going on, are there things that really sort of get you excited, or is it just you working in your workshop?
Well, what the thing I see is like traditional upholstery is like becoming very popular, popular again. Like people of all ages, they're kind of contacting me, wanting to do courses, and which is great.
Yeah,
and I cannot wait to run courses again. But it's upholstery is good right now. I think the trade is
no, I'd agree
is
with
great.
That.
It's got a lot of attention and it's, yeah.
So what has changed in the trade, in the time that you've been in it? What's different behind the bench from when you started?
It seems a lot harder to find places to learn the craft properly.
Yeah.
Like in France at the moment, they're trying to reduce the hours students spend at the bench, which would be terrible. So they're going from 2 days to 1 day, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Totally ridiculous. And like the course at Howicombe is no longer available. You know, that restoration and upholstery course.
Yeah.
So that was somewhere that had a great reputation. That's no longer there. There's no fundings.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad. But
that's a finance thing, though, isn't it?
And
it
exactly. Yeah. But it's like you say, it's all about money, and upholstery is not regarded about.
No, hopefully it will start to see. I think with programs like the repair shop and stuff like that, I think there's a bigger interest in what one does with fingers.
Exactly. Yes, that's true. Yeah.
It's very good on a podcast waving my fingers at the camera that no one's going to see, but never mind.
No, you've got a good move there, Robbie.
Oh, haven't I? Hey. And so how do you relax outside of working? Do you have anything that you love?
Well, for those who know me well, I'm pretty good at relaxing, mostly with my eyes closed, really. But also, I also find eating bags of M&Ms extremely therapeutic. But more seriously, not many people know that, but I do have a black belt in karate.
Uh-huh.
And
I wonder if you would share that or not. Because I was going to push you if you didn't.
But don't tell anybody. You're not supposed to brag about it.
No, but it's obviously something you're quite proud of. So
yeah, I mean, but training is just a great way to unwind after a long day at work.
Mostly. How long have you been doing karate?
Around 15 years now, I think.
Oh, okay. So in 15 years, you've got a black belt. It must be quite subtle.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I remember trying to do that when I was about 18 and it just crucified
me.
Where do you see yourself? What's your plan for your business, for your life as an upholsterer? Have you got a goal, or is it just doing more of the same?
Well, I'm pretty happy where I am now, as much as I'd love to move back to France and live somewhere warm and sunny like you, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it can be very wet as well.
Shh, don't say it. But yeah, for now, I see myself in the UK working and teaching a lot more. And yeah, just expanding my business, really. I'm not really happy to leave.
But so you, ultimately, you'd like to go back to France?
Yes. Yeah, in the long run, I'd like to move back to France, yeah. But that's not tomorrow, really.
No. We're all allowed to dream. So, it might be the last question, unless I can wheedle something else out of here.
Sure.
What piece of music would you choose if you were stranded on a desert island? What book would you take with you, and what film?
Gosh.
Come as a surprise. I sent you these questions, but at least.
Oh, well, let me think. Oh, that's a very good question, Robbie. Let me have a minute. Well, for the book, I'm Norman. I live in the UK.
Yeah.
So it would be a book about the Battle of Hastings, 1066.
Okay.
That's a lovely souvenir.
Yeah.
That warms my heart every time I read it.
Okay, so that's your book. We'll skate over that one straight away.
Oh, it's the most important one. But yeah, for the film, the movie, well, I'm a lot into fantasy, adventure, sci-fi, so I'd go with The Matrix.
Oh, would you?
Oh, yeah. That movie changed my life.
Did it?
God, yeah. Which
pill did you take?
Huh?
Which pill did you take?
Is it the blue one? I can't remember. But yeah.
And?
Oh, and the music. Oh, that's a very hard one. I love music. And probably a compilation of French artists or something like that.
No, you got to be more specific than that.
That's
like saying, I want to be an upholsterer and not actually saying that you're going to be a French upholsterer.
Okay. I'll go for Angèle at the moment.
Who?
Angèle? Come on, you need to know Angèle.
I do.
You do? Oh, well, Angèle, yeah, she's actually done like a duet with Dua Lipa.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, she's just a young, lovely blonde girl. And
never mind about the music.
She sings well.
Blonde girl, yeah.
She's got a nice voice, so yeah.
Oh, I should have to check her out. Because
I do
like a few of them there, French people. Quickly.
Yep.
Let's talk about All For Upholstery.
Hmm.
What do you think will happen with that?
Nothing much, really.
Is there any way we can get stuff to the UK?
Well, if you've got a van, if you're not too far from there, you can just drive there. Obviously, you'll have to pay the taxes and everything. You have to, how do you say, declare everything.
Yeah. So it could end up being ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we just have to go back to the old ways and use British products, which they aren't that bad. I mean, but it's just me because I'm used to them. So I've been training with them. I've learned to upholster with them.
What in terms of hair? What hair do you use when you're building?
I like using the blonde cattle hair.
Okay.
That's just lovely, lovely to touch. It just works wonderfully.
Very expensive, though.
It is, but the result is there's no comparison. I mean,
yeah. But if you weren't going to use that, what would you use? Because that might be useful for someone.
Well, if I don't order from for upholstery, I order from Martin's Upholstery.
Yeah,
and they've got the horsehair. There, they've got some horse hair, so I would go for that.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mom, it's been an absolute pleasure. You're a nutter as always.
And it's thank you.
No, you're brilliant, man. Love talking
to you. Thank you, Robbie. You too.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
All right.
See you soon.